Well, we're doing a very short series on prayer in the month of April. And it is something that probably all of us know a fair amount about, but all of us could stand to learn a little bit more. And as you think about prayer, I just want you to remember this. All of us have learned how to pray. Prayer is not... There's a natural aspect to it because we were all made to have a relationship with God, but basically prayer is a learned behavior. And that means that some things we've learned well, some things we haven't learned so well. There was a cartoon years ago in For Better, For Worse. A little boy was with his mother, and he was obviously grieving something about his pet named Farley. And so he was upset about his pet, and his mother knew that he was upset about his pet. And she said, "Have you tried praying for your pet?" And he said, "Can I pray for Farley?" And she said, "Yes, yes, God would love to hear your prayer for Farley." And so the little boy began to bow his head, and he stopped for a second. He said, "Mom, can I pray directly to God, or do I have to go through the pet department?" Kids learn to pray, and sometimes we help them, sometimes we hinder them. There's the story of the couple that invited some friends over. It was actually quite an ordeal, but they had all these people coming over, and before dinner was served, the host, the mom, asked her six-year-old, and she said, "Allison, would you like to give thanks for the food?" And Allison said, "Mom, I don't know how to pray, and I don't know how to pray with the company." And she said, "It's okay, Allison. I just want you to pray like you've heard your mother pray." And Allison said, "Oh, okay." And so she throws her hands up in the air and said, "Why, Lord, did all these people have to come over for dinner?" Sometimes we teach the right things to our children. Sometimes we teach the wrong things. And probably all of us have learned how to pray from a parent, from a pastor, from a Sunday school teacher. And some of us have learned quite well. But some of us need some remedial training. And even those who've had some really good models can always benefit by going back to the basics. And the prayer that we know as the Lord's Prayer, or some people call the Our Father, it's a prayer that is given to us to give us those basics. It is kind of the building blocks of prayer. We oftentimes misunderstand it and make it a prayer that we repeat, but that's really not why Jesus gave it to us. He gave it to us as a model for how we should pray. So we looked at it last week and realized that prayer begins with God. And that's probably the most important thing, that the reason that we pray is so we can know our Heavenly Father better. And as we talked about it last week, remember, all of us are motivated to pray when we're aware that we need something. And that's what gets us on our knees. It's the hurt, the pain, the need, the void, whatever it is, we come before God. And there's nothing wrong with that. But we, more than having the needs met, is meeting with God. And so prayer is primarily about the relationship with God. And that's why the Lord's Prayer begins with that. And that's really the part that I'm focusing on in this series. Because most of us are pretty good at asking God for stuff. It's how we ask Him. One of the questions that we have when it comes to prayer is, what should we pray for? And in some ways you think, well, can I pray for anything? And yes, you can. But one thing is clear if you read the Lord's Prayer and you read verses that lead up to the Lord's Prayer, there are some ways that we pray that clearly are inappropriate. And there are some things that we pray for that perhaps if we understood what God wants us to pray for, we wouldn't pray for. So let me just point out that there are some wrong ways to pray, and I'm not going to spend much time on this, but he says in verse 5, when you pray, don't be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing on the synagogues and the street corners to be seen by men. We touched on this, and our point was that prayer is to be done before God. It's not to impress people. And if we understand that, then we realize that it really doesn't matter what other people think about our prayers. All that matters is communicating directly to God. But oftentimes, particularly if you've learned to pray in the church, you've probably learned certain phrases, certain requests that are church requests, that nobody outside the church would ever pray, but it's because we've learned to pray like everybody else. It's not necessarily wrong, but it's worthwhile when you find yourself using the jargon of the church to ask yourself, am I praying this way because I'm talking to God, or am I praying this way because I'm talking to the people around me? And when we pray, we're not supposed to just babble on, just keep going, trying to impress upon God our need. He knows our need. So there are things that we know to be the wrong ways to pray, and that's important when it comes to prayer, to realize that we just need to bring our needs to God. But there are also some wrong things to pray for, and it really has to do with these petitions in the beginning of the Lord's Prayer, and this is what we're going to look at today. These are very familiar verses, but let me just read the whole prayer. We're going to focus on verses 9 and 10. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That's what we're going to focus on, but the rest of the prayer obviously is important too. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. Before we can know what to pray for and just exactly what to pray, we need to start where this prayer begins with the Father. And there are three petitions that are really very basic, but the amazing thing to me as a pastor, somebody who's studied the Lord's Prayer, who's taught on the Lord's Prayer, who thinks I understand a good part of the Lord's Prayer, is how I need to be reminded of the very thing that I'm reminding you of. I think it's just human nature that we jump into the give-me's before we spend time on who we're praying to. And yet you can't really ask properly until you've recognized who you're asking. So the first petition that's really important is hallowed be your name. When we pray that, what does that mean? Well, names are obviously important to God. They're important in the Bible. You find people who, when something happens in their life, they change their name, like Peter. His name is changed from Cephas to Petros, the rock, the one that God built his kingdom on. There are names that give significance. Saul's name is changed to Paul. There's been a change in his life, and the change of name says this change has taken place. Names matter to God, and God's name is a way of saying he is unique, he is special. It's not the word of his name. His name means his character. So when we say, hallowed be your name, we're saying, God, we want in our prayer, in our lives, in our church, we want you to be honored. In a sense, what we're saying when we say, hallowed be your name, is, God, we want you to be God to us. And it's so easy in our prayers to mess that up. It's like we want to be God and we want to tell God, are you taking dictation, Lord? I need this. I want this. Help me with this. But we have to begin by saying, okay, it's not about me. It's about you. And whatever I ask for, Lord, I want to make sure that this brings honor to you. You know what I want, Lord. And one of the things that I strongly encourage all of you when it comes to prayer, don't pretend that God doesn't know what's on your heart. So if you've got a need, even if you don't think it's an appropriate need, go ahead and tell God. He already knows. So just say, God, let me just give it to you straight. This is what I want. I'm not sure it's what you want, but I want to honor your name. And if this isn't what you want, then help me to want what you want. But I want you to be honored in the process. See, quite often when it comes to prayer, we discover that things, other names, other things matter more to us than God and God's name. And if the name of your company or the name of that promotion or something else matters more to you than God, then you're going to ask for the wrong thing. It's not inappropriate to say, God, I'd really like this promotion. I'd really like this opportunity. But God, I want you to be the center, and I don't want this job to be the center. Help me to make sure you are God in my life. So the first request, hallowed be thy name, is just kind of keeping God at the center. Making sure that whatever we ask for, whatever we want, is about Him. About bringing honor to Him. The second request. This is a request that I think we can skip over pretty quickly. Your kingdom come. What do we mean by God's kingdom? Well, if you read through the Bible, it means several different things. And if it's confusing to you what God's kingdom is, it may well be because as you read different theologians, they stress different things. One thing is clear, God's kingdom looks to the future. When Jesus comes back and establishes a kingdom on this earth, There are prophecies that speak of a literal kingdom that God will establish. But when Jesus was here on this earth, if you remember, he told his disciples, remember, the kingdom of God is among you. And so there's a way in which God's kingdom is already at work in our lives, through our church. So when we pray, your kingdom come, we're praying a couple different things. We're praying, God, in my life, I want you to be at work. I want you to make me the kind of man that you want me to be. I want you to help me to want what you want me to want. When I pray for myself, your kingdom come, I'm praying, I want to fit in to your kingdom and your program. So there's a way in which our prayer is about that spiritual kingdom that is part of the Holy Spirit being in our lives and being followers of Jesus Christ. But there's also clearly that future kingdom. And when you think about both of those things, it gives us hope. This is a prayer that allows us as Christians to live differently than those around us. It gives us hope when we face pain. You read the news headlines and you hear about some ISIS infiltration and people dying and people think, is there any hope? Well, I don't personally put a hope in our government or our military, but I know that God is working out a plan. And I can't always tell you what that plan is. I mean, I know in the end how it works out, but in the middle it can be pretty messy. But I have hope that God knows what's going on. And when you face personal pain in your life, you have that hope that God causes all things to work together for the good of those who love Him, for those who are called according to His purpose. There's hope as we pray, because God is bringing about His kingdom, whether it's to work spiritually in your life, to make you the person He needs you to be, or whether the hope is ultimately this is all going to work out because God has history in His hand. And it gives us hope, gives us hope in the midst of, before we get to purpose, hope in the midst of death. I thought about this week with Carol as I was thinking about praying. One of my prayers for your family, for our family, our church family, is that we will be people who realize that we're people of hope. It's hard to say goodbye, but it helps as church family, as personal family, to know that Carol had a strong faith in God. And you read the book of Revelation, it says, heaven is a place where there's no more tears, no more crying, no more night. It's a place of God's presence and God's love. And so as hard as it is for us, I'm sure Carol wouldn't trade it. And that gives us hope. Paul wrote to the Thessalonians, we grieve, he says, but not as people without hope. It hurts to say goodbye. But when you know someone has the hope of Jesus Christ in their life, you know that they're part of God's kingdom. And so to be part of God's kingdom is to be a person of hope. And that's all part of the prayer. So when we pray for God's kingdom, it's not just in our lives, but in all of history, all that God is doing, all that He's working. It gives us hope, and it gives us purpose. Because we live for more than just the job, for more than just the activity, for more than just the day. In fact, one of the things that I would like to really encourage us as a church, as individuals, and when we pray together as a church, is to think about prayer, think about kingdom prayers. So often, and I don't mean to minimize this, but so often our church prayer lists are only about our personal needs. And they may not be even about our personal needs. They may be about the personal needs of other people we love. That's not necessarily a bad thing. But if we understand that we are part of God's kingdom, and one of the purposes of the church, the primary purpose of the church, is to share God's love and hope, to transform hearts and homes in Westchester and the world, there should always be people on our prayer list who are people who don't yet know Jesus. People who are, maybe they're lost and they don't know it, or they're lost and they do know it and they don't care. But part of our purpose is to pray for them, to talk to them, to share with them, to live our lives in such a way that they're drawn in to God's kingdom and that they want to know about our Savior. So this should impact what we pray for. Not just about the aches and the pains and the job needs and all of those things that are part of living on this earth, but praying kingdom prayers. That God might do something amazing here in Tarrytown. That our church might be part of God's Spirit working through us. That we wouldn't be content just to show up, just to do church. We would be church. That God would work in us. That the status quo wouldn't be all there is, but that God's kingdom would be spread and established through us. I think so often, because our prayers are anemic, our lives are anemic. not just because we don't have God's power, because we don't pray, but we don't have God's vision, because we're too focused on our needs. So praying for God's kingdom brings us hope, it brings us purpose. Helps us to see what God has put us on this planet for. And the more our prayer ministry can be not just about meeting the needs of people within our church, but realizing that our church is here to meet needs in the community, to be missionaries to Westchester, missionaries to New York City, missionaries wherever you go on your job, in your school. Those are the people we should be praying for and praying about. So we pray for God's name to be hallowed. We pray that His kingdom might be established, that it would be established in our community, in our lives, that God would begin to work, and that His will would be done. That's the third and final petition. It's so easy for us to make prayer like a genie in the lamp. God, I need this. If I just rub the lamp just the right way, then maybe I'll get what I want. But anyone who understands prayer realizes that God doesn't work that way. Remember Jesus in the garden before He went to the cross? He prayed to His Father and He said, "If it's possible, God, I'd really rather not go through all this." That's my paraphrase. But He said, "Nevertheless, not my will, but yours be done." Remember the Apostle Paul? He had some thorn in the flesh. We don't know if it was poor eyesight. We don't know if it was malaria. There are all kinds of different speculations. But there was something that was significant in Paul's life, and he wanted it changed, and he went to God various times, and he asked that God would take it away from him. And he didn't do it. Because he realized that ultimately, it wasn't about what Paul wanted, but about what God wanted. And there are things in our lives that we just scratch our heads and say, "God, I have no idea what you're doing. I have no idea why you're doing it. I'll tell you how I'd like to run the universe, God," and that's okay. You can tell Him. He knows already what's on your heart. "Even so, God, it's not what I want, but what you want." And maybe what we need to do in those times is to ask God to help us to want what He wants, because it doesn't do any good to mouth the words when God knows your heart and you really don't want what He wants. So your prayer request may be, "God, right now I don't want your will to be done, but I need your help so that I will." The more we can learn to trust God's goodness and trust that His will is for our good, the more we can allow Him to be at work in our lives. And you can see, if we're thinking about these aspects of prayer, it's about His name and His reputation. It's about His kingdom and what He wants to do in and through us and in our community. It's about doing His will and our being willing to do His will. All of that shapes our prayers. Because if I'm asking for something that is clearly contrary to His will, He's going to say no. And in the first part of the prayer, I'm already saying, "God, I want your will to be done." So that means maybe it won't work the way I want, but that's going to be okay. If I want it to be sure that it honors His reputation and His name, there may be some things that matter to me that just don't matter to Him. See, what we have to realize in our prayers is that prayer always, always begins with God. And if we don't get that straight, our prayers They're always going to be skewed towards our needs and what we want. And this is understanding that God knows best is part of what we're saying. But this is what I want you to take away. Prayer is not about you. It's about God primarily. In Rick Warren's book, Purpose Driven Life, he begins his book with this quote. It's not about you. The purpose of your life is far greater than your personal fulfillment, your peace of mind, or even your happiness. It's far greater than your family, your career, even your wildest dreams and ambitions. If you want to know why you were placed on this planet, you must begin with God. You were born by His purpose and for His purpose. And so, as we pray, we have to realize before we get wrapped up in our will, prayer begins with Him. And if we get that straight, we'll begin to pray kingdom prayers that shape our lives and the lives of people around us, and maybe even our world. Let's pray together. Lord God, it's easier to preach this sermon than it is to pray as a result of this sermon. But Lord, I pray you would help us to learn to pray again. Help us to learn from your Son. Help us to learn to trust you. Help us to learn to be honest, just to tell you exactly where we're at so that we can surrender our wills and our ways to you. Father, if you're going to do something great in our lives, if you want to do something great in this church, it's not going to come because of our efforts. So Lord, help us to learn to rely upon you, to be men and women of prayer. Thank you for these reminders. We pray them in Jesus' name. Amen.